I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Tuesday, brought to you as always by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. We got our first taste of college football over the weekend. A great week zero, mind you. And now we head into week one. Excited to talk to our good friend Stuart Mandel of The Athletic, covering college football there at SL Mandel on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Stuart, thanks for the time this morning, man. Let's start with what happened in Dublin over the weekend. A lot of different offshoots of this. Talk about transfer portal. We'll talk about, you know, overreacting or not overreacting to a loss in the regular season, the play of DJ. What was the biggest takeaway seeing a top 10 team go down over the weekend to Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I mean, first of all credit to Georgia Tech and a program that's been flying, you know, off the radar for a long time. And it was really eye-opening to see them come out and just run the ball down Florida State's throat like they did. That's a lot of credit to Brent Key, who took over as their interim coach 2 years ago and has just completely turned it around. You know, it was interesting for me is this is the first, truly the first game of the 12-team playoff era, is that while Florida State did not look good, I didn't panic for them like I normally would because they're not out of anything, right? I mean, obviously it's not good to start 0-1 in your conference, but, you know, I think we saw a team that had a lot of new pieces. Mike Norvell is once again riding heavy on the portal. And first impression is, yeah, they've got a long ways to go. But fortunately for them, it's a long season and, you know, they could even lose another game at some point and still make the playoff if they can get things figured out.
It's interesting, Stuart, because we talked about that yesterday of just, you know, what it kind of means now with the expanded playoff and some of the arguments against expanding from some college football people have been like, you water the games down a little bit. They don't mean as much. Whereas like you lose week one back in the day, it felt like for some contenders, well, the season's over now, despite what that end result may be. With the automatic qualifier for conference champions, it's different. And yet, I kind of had a somewhat opposite feel in the, I'm not like panicking for Florida State, but the fans certainly are still panicking the same way they did when one loss would ruin your entire season.
I think, and then I think a big part of that panic is there was so much riding on DJ, who you guys know well.
Yeah.
And obviously did not come out and have a great first game. I was struck by how conservative the game plan was and how often they had him throwing either behind the line of scrimmage or not far ahead of the line of scrimmage. They didn't really let him throw downfield till the fourth quarter. So I'm not going to, you know, I didn't come away from thinking, oh, he had a bad game. It was more like, huh, either they don't trust him or they don't trust that they can protect him because they never really deviated from that until they absolutely had to.
Yeah. Yeah. The defensive line, probably a bigger concern with all the hype that they were getting coming into the year. Stuart Mandel, our guest, college football writer for The Athletic, at SL Mandel on Twitter. Go give him a follow. You had a piece a couple of weeks ago, I think, in your mailbag where you're just pondering Oregon and what step they need to take in order to win a national championship. They are a trendy pick, a top three team, I believe, in both preseason polls. Where are they lacking? Where is the step that you need to see? And what are your thoughts on Oregon going into 2024?
They should be fantastic on offense, despite losing Bo Nix, first-round quarterback. Dylan Gabriel comes in, was clearly the best quarterback available in the portal. I think to win a national championship, it's about the defense, and Dan Lanning and Tosh Lupoy have been trying to build a defense that looks like the ones they had at Alabama and Georgia, and I think they're heading in the right direction. It's just how close are they? You know, I did our Oregon scouting report for The Athletic, and I talked to an opposing coach who played them last year who said, yeah, they're decent, but I don't think they're quite there yet. They have a lot of guys that are going to probably get drafted. I don't know if they have some elite guys that are going to be first or second round picks, but I could be wrong. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see when they get, I think they're going to cruise against a lot of the teams they play, but you know, how do they play in the big games? And also, how do they handle all that travel? And that's really the unknown. We haven't, this is the first year of these new, you know, nationwide conferences. And I look at their schedule and they're, you know, they're going to play this huge game against Ohio State at home. And then 6 days later, they're going to play at Purdue. And then in November, they're going to take trips to Michigan and to Wisconsin. That's not easy. Nobody would look at that schedule and say, oh yeah, they're definitely going to win 11 games. They've got their work cut out, I think, to live up to that number three billing.
Michigan got their notice of allegations, and as we await everything with Michigan and what their future is going to look like, they're the defending national champions, and obviously they've lost a lot, but they're still returning some pretty talented players at key spots. Sherrone Moore got some coaching experience last year and filling in for Jim Harbaugh. It feels like narrative-based. Ohio State is probably almost universal, the number one pick for people in the Big Ten. And then Oregon, a pretty consistent, if not universal, second. Michigan kind of sitting there. What do you make of Michigan and how they're going to be with Oregon now in the conference, USC in the conference, Penn State having some hope that Franklin can get at least to the playoff with a two-loss type season? What are your thoughts on the defending champions maybe not being mentioned as much as even some of the newcomers to the conference?
They should be very good on defense again, despite losing some of the guys they have. Like, that's the side of the ball where they have two top 10 picks on their defense, two projected top 10 picks, and a bunch of other highly regarded guys. But they're basically starting over on offense, including, to most troubling to me, losing your entire offensive line and, frankly, the first couple backups. Now, they're bringing in some experienced guys in the portal. And then I just saw right, you know, before I came on here that Sherrone Moore said they haven't decided on a starting quarterback yet. So just a lot up in the air on the offensive side of the ball. And with Texas coming there week two, it's that's a tough draw, especially after the last couple of years where they didn't play anybody at a conference. So somebody's going to step up in the Big Ten. I think Ohio State is definitely the class of the Big Ten, but I don't buy the notion that it's them and Oregon and then there's this big drop off. I don't know if it's Michigan, I don't know if it's Penn State, somebody else that we're not talking about. Somebody's going to rise up and fill that void.
Interesting. We're talking with Stuart Mandel at The Athletic, at SL Mandel on Twitter. Go give him a follow as we get set for the start of college football season. When you look at the slate in week one, Stuart, I'm just curious. We were kind of talking yesterday about, you know, the consequential games for this weekend that maybe sway your opinion. You know, Florida State losing in week zero, all of a sudden there's a bit of a different look about them and a different feeling about them. What are some of those games that you circle that you think are going to have consequential outcomes from the opening weekend of the college football season?
I'm really looking forward to that Sunday game between USC and LSU because those are both programs, you know, both of those head coaches, they were hired a day apart from each other, Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley, such high expectations, haven't really delivered on it yet. And so I love these opening games where you already know whoever loses, that there's going to be this huge knee-jerk reaction about their coach. When, of course, as we just said, it'll basically just be one loss and see if you can regroup. But I'll be interested to see if either of those programs or either of those teams comes out and you're like, oh yeah, that's a possible playoff team. And then obviously the you know, the Saturday primetime game, Notre Dame going to Texas A&M. The interesting thing about that to me is if you look at Notre Dame's schedule, that might be the toughest game on the whole schedule. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty light, you know, they always play five games against the ACC. It's a pretty light draw. You know, playing at USC at the end of the season, who knows what USC would be like by the time they get to that. So, if they were to go in and win at A&M, at that point I'm thinking it's not if this team's going to make the playoff, it's how high a seed they can get. And then on the A&M side, you know, we're all curious to see how Mike Elko does in his first season.
If I was to give you a list of coaches who are facing just an enormous amount of pressure, and if they were to lose in this week one, you think the temperature gets the hottest. If I gave you Mario, Marcus Freeman, James Franklin, or Dabo, who would you pick between those four?
Some of those guys, while the fan base is frustrated with Dabo, or some of them might be, like, he's not under any job pressure. James Franklin's not under any job pressure. I don't even know that Mario Cristobal is, but I think Mario Cristobal does need to win that first game against Florida because he should. This is the most anticipated Miami team in a long time with Cam Ward, with Damian Martinez, with a whole bunch of other guys they got in the portal. And, you know, the guy that actually is on the hot seat the most is the guy on the other side of that, Billy Napier. So he needs to win that game. If Miami can't win that game against what people expect to be a middling SEC team, and obviously their in-state rival, yeah, you're going to see some Miami fans getting really frustrated.
Yeah, it's the beauty of college football, man. I can't wait for the reactions, the overreactions, all the craziness. Week zero was a good start. Week one is upon us. Stuart Mandel, The Athletic, covering college football at SL Mandel. Thanks, as always, for the time out here in Portland, man. Enjoy week one, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.